We are reading today a verse from the 4th Canto, chapter 9, text 6. You might be asking yourself why we do so much jumping. Yesterday we were in the 2nd Canto and now in the 4th. These lectures are attempted to be arranged like a series of lectures where different subjects who are presented in a successive order. Today we speak about a subject which I will not reveal at this particular moment, but a little later, which is very much connected with yesterday's subject matter of the transformation. So please repeat after me. Dhruva uvacha,
Dhruva uvacha,
Yantaha,
Yantaha,
Parishya,
Parishya,
Mama,
Mama,
Vacham,
Vacham,
Imam,
Imam,
Prasupta,
Prasupta,
Yanta, Pravishya, Mama, Vacham, Imam, Prasupta,
Yanta, Pravishya, Mama, Vacham, Imam, Prasupta,
Sanjivayati,
Akila, Akila,
Shakti,
Shakti,
Dadaha,
Dadaha,
Badamna,
Badamna,
Sanjivayakila Shakti Daras Vadamna,
Sanjivayakila Shakti Daras Vadamna,
Anya,
Anya,
Sa, Hasta Chalana,
Hasta Chalana,
Hasta Chalana Shravanatvakari
Anyamsa Hasta Chalana Shravanatvakari
Nanam
Nanam
Namo
Namo
Bhagavate
Bhagavate
Purushaya
Purushaya
Mubhyam
Mubhyam
Granam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam
Granam Namo
Mama vacham imam prasupta
Yanta pravishya mama vacham imam prasupta
Sanjivayatya kila shakti darasvadamna
Sanjivayatya kila shakti darasvadamna
Anyamsha hasta charana shravanat vakari
Anyamsha hasta charana shravanat vakari
Shabbat shalom. Context it appears. This is a verse which is spoken by Dhruva Maharaj after he had attained full God realization. That means after the Lord had manifested before him and touched with his concha his head. The Lord actually touched Dhruva Maharaj and empowered him by his touch to pray beautiful prayers. And Dhruva Maharaj was kind of overwhelmed, and the words were not flowing out of him because of his profound ecstasy, which blocked his abilities to express himself. But when the Lord empowered him by the touch of his lotus, his concha, spontaneously words of praise issued forth from him, which are so entirely enthusiastic that they speak to our core and may raise a question: what happened with our enthusiasm? This lecture is entitled The Sources of Enthusiasm. Here comes the translation. Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses. My hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Yes, a very, very nice purport. Some of you went late to bed yesterday, and Brother Sleep is hiding behind you, trying to overwhelm you, please. Overwhelm Brother Sleep. Very, very interesting purport. Please give your kind attention to this. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He could understand that his life force and activities had been sleeping. And this man comes to the spiritual platform. His bodily limbs, mind, and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself. O living entity, get up! How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. The Vedas also declare, get up, get up! You have the opportunity, the boon, of the human form of life. Now, realize yourself. These are the Vedic injunctions. Dhruva Maharaj actually experienced that upon enlightenment of his senses on the spiritual platform, he could understand the essence of Vedic instruction, that the Supreme Godhead is the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Dhruva Maharaj could immediately understand this fact. He was aware that for a very long time he was practically sleeping, and he felt the impetus to glorify the Lord according to the Vedic conclusion. A mundane person cannot offer any prayer or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has no realization of the Vedic conclusion. When Dhruva Maharaj, therefore, found this difference within himself, he could immediately understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. He offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. This spiritual enlivenment of Dhruva Maharaj's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, the word svadhamna means by spiritual energy. A spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord. Hare. This spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Simonmukha. At that time, the spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. Without the revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. Any amount of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of the material energy. when one is actually enlivened by the spiritual energy, all his senses become purified and he engages only in the service of the Lord. Now you will hear how enthusiastic Srila Prabhupada is about this. He really starts to preach to us. At that time, when we are enlivened, at that time his hands, legs, ears, tongue, mind, genitals, everything engage in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. This process of purifying the senses and engaging them in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti, or devotional service. In the beginning, the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and shastra. And after realization that the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is that in the beginning the senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after realization they are engaged in spiritual knowledge. The difference is that in the beginning the senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after realization they are engaged in spiritual understanding. So, Hare Krishna, very wonderful text and purport. Let us start our lecture, this other part of the lecture now, by chanting the prayers.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityaname Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vasyakta
lecture, we would like to now investigate a little bit about this phenomena which is discussed by all true spiritual people and which is also the basis of our Krishna conscious practice, this enthusiasm. By Srila Prabhupada's definition in the Nectar of Instruction, enthusiasm is endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. And we very much require this definition to come to a mature understanding of enthusiasm, and I would like to repeat it again for your kind perception. Enthusiasm is an endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. The Sanskrit word utsahan tells us a lot about this feeling. Ut means something like out, brings you out of the normal, out of the conditioning. And saha means together with the Lord. When someone has utsahan, or enthusiasm, he is together with the Lord, and this brings him out of Maya. Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers another very interesting observation about enthusiasm, and this definition will really be the one which we will take as a road to try to enter the subject matter deeply. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, enthusiasm is the soul of Shraddha. Isn't it a beautiful definition? Let us look a little bit at this explanation. We all know that without the soul, the body cannot move about. For the body to live and express itself, it is absolutely required to have the presence of the soul there. In the same way, if you have a certain shraddha or a deep spiritual conviction in our life, certain belief, we require very much a soul to give our belief structures alive and help it to express itself in sound and spiritually mature ways. And for that, enthusiasm is very, very important. I think we all have found during our book distribution days, maybe, or when we were preaching, people who said, I'm a Christian. But we felt they are so unenthusiastic about it that it didn't seem so convincing, really, because the enthusiasm was not there. In our heart of hearts, we might have critically said, "No, you are materialist. That is what your vibration is, and you look at your lifestyle with your two pink rose cavaliers." No, you are not as a convincing example. He may believe something, but because there is no enthusiasm, his belief doesn't live. Now, when the critical faculty is a sign of intelligence, but we should not be afraid to use it in our own lives as well. Not that we just criticize others and not ourselves, but this is not the function of the critical faculty. We should also look in our heart. How much enthusiasm is there in our beliefs which we have, our understandings which we have somehow taken up or even inherited by our birth in the Hare Krishna movement. We need the soul. It needs to live And for that we need to think deeply about enthusiasm. Now, those who have done a study of Madhurya Kadambali, a work of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, have seen that enthusiasm seems to have an immature form and a mature form. The beginner's enthusiasm is usually, it's called Utsahamayi, is a form of immature enthusiasm, which is understandable and very human, but which needs to be fixed on firm grounds so that it becomes a mature enthusiasm. I think those of you who have studied our movement have noticed that the bhaktas are always very enthusiastic, they jump very high, and us old guys are sometimes not so enthusiastic. The bhaktas talk about, did you hear this story from Krishna book? And the old guys seem to sit on a bench and talk about sociological phenomena. Use a polite word for politics. I think when we dare to use a little self-critical analysis, it is mainly good spirits. Please don't feel offended. This is Germans have to speak like this. It's in the genetic codex. They don't mean it bad. They mean it very well. If they want mean it bad, they talk totally different, and I will not talk like this because. Yeah, after all, following the devotional line. And this is understandable, and that this phenomena that we are in the beginning very enthusiastic for something, and it wanes. It is very, very human, but although it is human, we should see how we can always remain enthusiastic. The beginner's enthusiasm is often orients itself on external things. For instance, dress, new habits. I remember when I was finally given the first dhoti, I was so proud. I immediately went on the street and did 6 hours harinam to show the world my new dhoti. The scriptures give an analogy of this type of enthusiasm by comparing this beginner's enthusiasm with a young brahmana boy who gets a scripture. He now has a book and he thinks, oh, I am also a member of the grown-up people because I have my book. Copies of scripture in olden times, they're not as easily available as in our times, the times of the printing press. So he has this book, and this gives him a great sense of satisfaction. So have also grown up. However, because he can't read the book as of yet, the book will one day lie in the corner of the room and he will not touch it any longer. For the young brahmana boy to change his beginner's enthusiasm into mature enthusiasm, he would have to learn to become a little bit deeper and learn to read and understand the book. In the same way, a person who takes to the spiritual life is in the beginning quite enthusiastic because of the many new external things which have happened in his life, which enthuse him. But because he may not yet be able to access deep Krishna conscious realizations, his enthusiasm remains fragrant, and at one time or another, he is bound to give it up and become less enthusiastic. The way out of this dilemma, this very human dilemma, which happens in all religious and spiritual endeavors, is to learn to read, or to equip yourself with spiritual understandings and also spiritual practices in your sadhana, which enable you to really go deep in Krishna consciousness and access the deep Krishna conscious realizations. I would like to show this to you graphically, and our radio listening audience, you have to now imagine you are in the temple room and see a graphic demonstration. Enthusiasm could be compared like a road which comes here and which at one stage comes to, I believe in English it's called a crossroad, a two ways to go. There's a very short road of the beginner's enthusiasm, which will dwindle after some time, because it's simply not possible to draw out constant enthusiasm from external factors. Or the devotee can choose on his, when he comes to this point at the crossroad where he either goes left or right, he can choose to lead a deep spiritual life. Now, a question which is often asked is, how do I become deep? What is there any information on this, how to become deep in Krishna consciousness? And there is an information by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, when you do shravana, hearing, if you want to become deep, you must do a second process which is called manaha. We heard yesterday a little bit about it. Manaha means deep reflection about the subject matters which you hear, and reflect on how can I make this work in my life. You could graphically show it like this. Imagine here comes the sound vibration. Now, if you just hear years and years and years, then it goes in one ear and out another ear. In Germany we say, why did God give us 2 years? You know, the different thinkers in Germany, these are obviously the little primitive thinkers. But it is because it goes in one ear in and out of the other ear. That's the reason. So that we are not overburdened. Hare Krishna. This unfortunately happens, but the moment you do not just hear, but do manaha, or deep reflection, it seems that the sound vibration goes in here, and then by the reflection, goes like this into your heart, and you make it your own. You begin to own the things. Especially if you hear, or if you reflect about what you have heard with the idea that I wish to apply some of it in my life and make it work for me. Especially with this motive, if you reflect like this and then actually act upon your reflections, you will begin to inherit or own what you have heard, and it will go deep into your system. It will really transform you. To become deep, in other words, and that is the only solution for someone who comes to the crossroads of enthusiasm. He can try to continue to live his spiritual life according to external factors. I will now give some factors. Peer pressure is an external factor. social pressure, to be good in the eyes of others, and so on. You can, or just simply to get a position amongst men, that I am a very good devotee, see what I all do, and so on. All the devotee could this will last him for a little time, but then, pop, will be so hard that you will be disappointed so much in your life because you don't get anything out of your life. Or you can choose at the crossroads of enthusiasm to somehow become deeper. This means that you hear regularly the spiritual knowledge. You think about it with a motive that how can I apply this and make it work in my life? Very important. Once you are so enthusiastic, become enthusiastic in your spiritual life, great changes will happen in your day-to-day life. Please forgive me, I will now talk a little bit about one change which is very, you would smile about. One change which happens when you are enthusiastic, and I start on the lowest level, is you will become healthy and happy. In the course of working on my seminar, The Art of Transformation, I have done some studies in the medical field, and found a very interesting institute which has managed to measure people's ECG in English. That's an electrocardiogram. It shows you how your heart works. Now what they found out is, when a person is in the mood of, for instance, frustration in his life, that's a big killer, that his heartbeat comes in a certain frequency which has very distorted patterns. Now you must know that the heart is really the most powerful motor of our lives, very powerful motor, and it sends certain frequencies in every cell of your body. When it has these dangerous frequencies, it begins to structure your biophysical body, yes, and especially this subtle electric, bioelectric in your body, in such a way that the cells are bad, you are in danger even to get cancer. People get cancer largely due to this weaknesses of the cells, which come if they are constantly subjected to a negative frequency, you could call it like this. This institute has made a technique available, which they call freeze frame. It means you stop when you notice you are getting, you're frustrated or angry or have these things, which sends out this negative things, negative vibrations. They have made this. Then you have to consciously stop and think of a person or of something which you appreciate. And as you do it, the ECG, the electrocardiogram, reports that the frequency has changed. You have a very harmonious frequency. Please forgive me that I tell such a materialistic thing in the Bhagavatam class. The reason why I do so is because of having seen in my life and in the life of many devotees who are close to me, that somehow they allow the feelings of frustrations and negativity to rule them so much so that they become sick or they look very old. You see them and you say, Prabhuji, we are the same age. Why have you become so old? What have you thought about all these years? This is what you can talk to friends. Usually you shouldn't say it like this when you meet someone after a long time. We are bhaktas, devotees of Krishna. We have so much positive thoughts to think about. We start in the morning with singing Sangsara Dhavana and looking at God. We have the words of the Lord, the Bhagavad Gita, to think about. It's very important if you want to be enthusiastic and spiritually vibrant. You need to tell your mind what he thinks about and not allow negativity to enter your life. Many times the human mind functions like this. As we said, you are enthusiastic and you enthusiastically also enter a spiritual path, and then all of a sudden you notice, whoo, here are the same human weaknesses as everywhere else. I didn't expect it. And then become totally frustrated and disappointed. This is a very immature reaction. Human beings will always be human beings unless they become pure souls. And it's not that everyone can so quickly purify himself, because we bring different luggage, karmic luggage with us in this life. We had a life before. However, there is a very good very good inspiration which we can take help of. Whatever happens to us largely happens to us because we have produced it. We have produced it in that way that we can produce a reaction to what happens. We cannot control what happens outside, what other people do, but we can control and choose how we wish to react to it. There is a shloka which Prabhupada says the guide should be the guideline of all devotees. It says, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunyana evatma kritam vipakam vipakma pubir vidadan namaste sarinjivita mukti pade sadaya bhakti. It means, I will give it a little interesting. I mean, I will give it a different translation which you may be accustomed to. He who understands that whatever happens is happening due to his own karmic reactions, but who at the same time chooses to worship the Lord with body, mind, and words, he becomes the prospective candidate for liberation. It is not good if we always go into the world and find fault, or this went wrong, he did it wrong, and so on and so forth. Because we will blacken our minds with all these faults of others. They will come to us because we think about them and truth. It is better, more mature, to understand human beings are human beings, and I'm suffering from these human beings because it is my karmic karma. So I should now, while this goes on, obviously I should engage in devotional service and fill my heart and being with nice Krishna conscious subjects. This is a very nice and mature reaction. Let not the faults of others govern us and come to us and be in our hearts and in our minds from morning till evening. Obviously, when there is a faulty situation, this understanding doesn't mean that I we be silent? No, no, there is obviously, it must be corrected and be dealt with. And I think you are all aware of this, that our movement has to make serious steps in order to correct the wrongs, and everyone is expected really to give his best to do this. This is definitely there, and I beg you to acknowledge we have not forgotten this. I'm now talking about something else, not correcting the wrongs. I'm talking about enthusiasm in our lives, which is so important, because then we should never allow that our enthusiasm is robbed and stolen by others. Mm-hmm. I want to end this class now by reading to you something which might help very much to contact the sources of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. This is something very, I would say, very practical. When we go on our spiritual journey, there are so many things which we certainly did not expect to happen when we started our journey. Somehow, to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead is almost like a pilgrimage through mountains and valleys and so on. And when you plan a journey through a desert, for instance, or through a mountain, mountainous areas, you know, need to know where you can get food and prasadam and wash yourself and so on. You need to know where are these oases. So in our life journey, it's also very important to know where are the sources of enthusiasm which can make me enthusiastic. And Prabhupada wrote something nice about this. He said, Rupa Goswami has introduced this system of regulative principles which I have taught you also. These regulative principles, such as rising before 4 a.m. for Mangal Arati, chanting 16 rounds minimum on beats daily, reading books, going for the street sankirtan, preaching to anyone and everyone, offering the prasad, like that. These principles of devotional service are there to safeguard us from Maya's attack by keeping us always enthusiastic. These are the sources and the maintenance of our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. I think we all have felt in our lives how we became so unenthusiastic even to Krishna, to do the things we are supposed to do in our lives. And we have asked ourselves, where can I get my enthusiasm back? And I think all of us have made the experience that sometimes simple things will do. We come again to the Mangala Arati. Of course, when we come to the Mangala Arati, it's very important that we have slept enough. Very important. Otherwise, the chanting and everything will be under the veil of extreme tiredness, and we won't get so much out of it. I think we all have also made the experience that we had. We did whatever we did in our spiritual lives. And then the idea came of, why don't I read today in the Bhagavatam? Yes, why not? And we started to read in it, and all of a sudden the Bhagavatam seemed to speak to us personally. Have you also made this experience in your life with this? You really feel that, oops, this concerns me. Extremely relevant in my life. And we thought, how did it just happen? What a strange coincidence. Almost a illusion coincidence. But really, the very, very great is the association with devotees. All of us, we should never give up in our lives, even when things look a little dark, which does happen, because we are in the human condition still. We should see and look for those devotees who are enthusiastic. I, for instance, know in my life, if everything goes wrong, I go to Lokanath Maharaj and dance in his kirtans from morning till evening. And then somehow it will work. I have a few such devotees in mind where I know if everything goes wrong, no problem. I will go to the devotees who are enthusiastic in their spiritual life. I will try to serve them and try to just soak in their association. And as one soaks in the Vaishnava association, something does come in our heart. I want to explain the mystery of association to you. Association, according to the Yoga Shastras, takes place on different levels. For instance, when a young man and a young woman see each other, like it happens in our Gurukul devotees, who have just become young men and young women, it is just totally surprising for them what has happened to them. They all of a sudden begin to feel an attraction which makes them blush even. Or imagine a young man goes into the discotheque and sees a young woman, and there is a lot of this music. It's so loud they can't even speak to each other. And it's a little dark, one can improperly see the rupas of each other. But at the same time, there seems to be a connection through the lower chakras, which begins to vibrate in such a way that they even agree to spend a night with each other without having gotten to know each other at all. Then there is the type of association which I think we all also know. We meet a person and somehow we feel the person is very sympathetic to us. We feel, oh, I would like to get to know this person. What this is that our Anahata chakra, this is another energy circle, begins to resonate with the other person on a different level. On this level we also feel antipathy. Antipathy means you meet somebody and you feel like, I hope I will be able to act politely towards this person. Everything else in me screams signs of antipathy, and so on. This is a communication taking place on the Anahata chakra. Now it is said that Vaishnava Sangha, the association with a devotee, benefits a person even if it's done only for the 11th part of a second. Have you ever thought what you can do in the 11th part of a second with a devotee? You can maybe do the first two syllables of the greeting word Hari Bol, just enough for Hari, then it's gone. You cannot talk. It's a non-verbal inspiration which takes place. And this inspiration takes place by the mercy of the spiritual energy by Lord Krishna. It's mercy. I have given you a few examples of non-verbal communication. One in the discotheque, which takes place on a lower levels of existence. One a little higher, or quite higher, on the level of the heart, the Anahata chakra. Vaishnava Sangha works also like that. It is the divine, but it's different. Not a material energy comes through. If it's proper sadhus, proper Vaishnavas who live properly in their lives, then a spiritual energy comes through to them. Therefore, we should, in India they know, we should take darshan of a sadhu. May not always, it doesn't mean that you sit down for 1 hour and ask questions, But in India, well, the people know, just see the sadhu or be seen by the sadhu, and some spiritual energy will come in my heart. So, bringing this knowledge to a practical application in Krishna consciousness is very important for us if we search for the sources of enthusiasm to look for bona fide devotees and associate with them through service and humble inquiry, and in this way fill our enthusiasm tank. I think we need this very much. There are gasoline tanks, and in Japan I have heard there is oxygen. You can buy oxygen and breathe in. I think in our Krishna consciousness movement we need to go to the enthusiasm filling station. We need to make such filling stations in our lives and visit them happily. One such filling station, Badahari Prabhu and myself want to try to do something nice this evening, which is meant to give enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Please, if you have time, come to our humble attempt to serve you with Nandyakya. It will be something. We will go on a visual journey and do all kinds of things. I can't tell you now because it's meant to be a surprise. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening. I noticed many devotees leave the lecture. Have I said something very...
No, they just
want to
be on the time and they have to go to work.
They have to go to work. You are Dhruva. I looked at you, but I couldn't tell from the face, but from the voice.
You don't want to say it, but you said it in the beginning.
No. Dhruva. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Yes, I have that book. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Good, so because it's late, tomorrow I will really start to really look on the time a little bit more. You will not have questions because then you feel obliged to be here and you have to go. Thank you very, very much and see you this evening, if possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!